kiddos will get on a roll if you ask them to start naming all the things that they, you know, are aware of in that moment.
Hello and welcome to Priestess of Ordinary Things, a podcast for spiritual misfits, modern mystics, and folks of all genders tasked with tending the sacred within everyday life. My name is Kate Fontana. I'm a psychic, a pagan priestess with Christian vibes, and mentor to the spiritual fringe. I help spiritual misfits like you connect in down-to-earth ways to your innate resilient center, and to nurture reluctant leaders on their sacred priestess path. Welcome.
Hi, everyone. So today's podcast is a short and sweet one to help inspire and get you ready for the winter solstice. It's especially designed for folks who have kiddos, but really anyone, I hope anyone could use it as inspiration. You do not have to do anything like buy the book or word for word, but this is a light structure that I have used for years, both with my own family and in the community that I serve. So I call this a simple winter solstice ritual for families. And just to preface, you know, we can chat for a minute about how most of our modern holidays have been assumed by a kind of dominant form of Christianity, kind of soaked in capitalism. That said, many still have breadcrumbs that lead us back to more ancestral and earth-based origins. Solstice is one of those days that cultures around the world recognized as significant. This moment of dwelling in the beauty and paradox of light and darkness. For those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, winter solstice is a time to receive the gifts of deep darkness. These include rest, the incubation of dreams, and the freedom of death and endings. It can also be painful times, lonely times, sad, depressing times, particularly here in the Northwest. So paying attention to these can help us normalize loss, normalize the harder seasons of life, and model for, you know, each other, but particularly for our children, what it can look like to move through these in a conscious way, in a non-dissociative way, and with tools of connection and resilience amidst these darker days. Solstice can be a particularly valuable time for amending what I call the light bias, that aversion of darkness and death, which is present in a lot of kind of modern, you know, love and light driven New Age world, as well as the religious language and practices of more traditional religious and spiritual observation, like, you know, Jesus being the light of the world at this time of year, which is not a problem, except that it can lead to, again, this aversion or dissociation or negative connotation with darkness and dark times. You can instead talk about how our brains and bodies and the earth need to rest, how seeds germinate in the darkness of the soil, how sometimes doing nothing is just the right thing, and how death and loss and disappointment are a part of life. They're a part of the cycle. So I hope the ritual I'm going to share, just an outline, might be a nourishing structure for you. But as I said, again, feel free to adapt, pick and choose, and consider that observing this time might not just be one more thing to do at what modern culture has already made a pretty hectic and overstimulating time. You can make it the just right size to suit your life and energy and pace. So what would feel joyful? What would feel easy? Those are the questions I'd invite you to ask. Let your own family's practice be contextual and just suited for you and for the ecology that immediately surrounds you. You might in the coming days just get a little quiet and listen from your bellies and ask, what is this time wanting to offer you? What is this time asking for? So this ritual is built around themes of honoring darkness and welcoming or rebirthing the light. a couple tools you might want to gather beforehand. And don't worry, I'll share the written version of this in the show notes so you don't have to remember it all. But things you might want to gather are some kind of elemental objects, such as a little dish or a cup of flowers or rose petals, a little dish of dried herbs like sage or thyme. You can pull anything from your kitchen. A little dish of seeds, like bird seed or anise seed, or again, anything you have on hand. So I often put these in little dishes that we'll be able to use through the ritual. And then you might have a bell or a drum or some kind of noisemaker to kind of call folks together at the beginning. I'm offering a short blessing or song, so sometimes it can help to have the words written down, but it's very simple and can be learned just call and response if you want to do it that way. It can be really fun to build an altar together with your family. Kids really jive with the like tangible pieces of ritual. So an altar might include like, a cloth over a little table or in a corner of your space. You might even do it outdoors underneath a tree. It could include a candle or seasonal plants or kind of symbolic fruits of this time, like a pomegranate or cranberries. Any kind of greenery or pine cones that can be easily gathered. You know what feels seasonal for this time. And then I also like to have folks include a few tokens of the past year, both things that were beautiful, that you're grateful for, and perhaps also some of the challenges, little tokens of things that were difficult and growing times. You might also have folks collect a token or two of your dreams for the coming year, like what's a seed you want to plant. So those are the preparatory pieces I'd invite you to assemble. And then the process of the ritual, again, can be very simple, but here are a few elements that you might consider including. The first is a tuning in. So I find with kiddos, it's really fun to ring a bell and then just the instruction is to listen until you can't hear it anymore. And oftentimes they each want to turn to ring it. I tell them that like this is a prayer, so to do it in a kind of gentle, mindful way. And we ring the bell until you can't hear it anymore. And then you take three big belly breaths. You might invite the kiddos to imagine a little balloon in their belly that they fill and empty. Or, you know, sometimes we do the smell of the flowers, blow out the birthday candle. So some kind of tuning in or gathering in. This can also be a good time for a song, and I'm thinking I'll share a few songs in next week's podcast, so stay tuned for that. I also like to include a grounding. So for little kids, sometimes it can be just noticing some of your sensory surrounding, like one thing you see, one thing you can touch with your hands, one thing you can smell, one thing you can hear. For slightly older kids, you might invite them to imagine, to like close their eyes and imagine being a tree with roots dropping into the center of the earth. Then I like to do a blessing or acknowledgement of the land. So we look around again with our senses and say a few words of hello and gratitude for the land, the particular land where you are. And if you know the indigenous stewards of the land, it can be a beautiful acknowledgement to just name that. It's a way to teach our little ones that, you know, many of us are on land that didn't originally belong to us. Many of us are on colonized and stolen land. And it can be, again, in a way to kind of hold the tension of, difficulty and beauty at the same time. Of course, this doesn't solve the problem of Indigenous erasure and can't replace us being involved in Indigenous sovereignty, but it can be one educational first step, at least for our young people. Then you might have like the heart of the ritual. If possible, I love to have us go outside and gather around a tree or near water. Maybe you have the space to build a little bonfire. If this isn't possible and you need to remain indoors, you might have just like a dish of earth and a candle to do the following ritual. If you are outside, you might stand around or hold hands around the tree or the fire. And at the base of the tree or the fire or into your little dish of earth, each family member gets a chance to use the elements that you gathered to speak an offering. So the way that I will often use these elements symbolically is to use flower petals or rose petals when sharing gratitudes from the past year. I like to use whatever herbs I have on hand to share like a sadness or grief or losses or disappointments. And then I'll have folks use seeds to represent our dreams for the coming year. Like, what are you wanting to plant? What are you wanting to call into being? And then after each person shares or everyone shares, you can sing or say the following blessing. Our thanks for days past, our dreams birth at night. We honor the darkness, we beckon the light. Our thanks for days past, our dreams birthed at night. We honor the darkness, we beckon the light. And don't worry, again, I'll include this in the show notes. So the last element of a circle or ritual like this is a simple closing, which again might be a song like one of your traditional Christmas carols that you love or one of the other songs I can share. And then like you opened, oftentimes I'll ring the bell or the drum once more, maybe take 3 or 5 more breaths together, and say some kind of thank you to the various elements of the ritual: the tree, the dirt, each other, the indigenous peoples of the land, the sky, the sun, the darkness. It can be just a simple bow, although kiddos will get on a roll if you ask them to start naming all the things that they are aware of in that moment. And then, of course, you got to follow up with like a tasty warm drink or little treats. So that's my simple outline. I'd love to know if you try this or if you have any other practices that you and your family like to do during the season. So if you use this or do any other solstice ritual or practice or celebration with you and yours, I would love to know. Please share in the comments or write me an email, post a picture and tag us at the Sanctuary Northwest or me at Kate Fontana. And I just really love to see how people work with this and adapt and make it your own. I'm always working on developing more user-friendly material too. So if you find things that are useful or not as useful, that's really helpful feedback. So I'll close by sharing one of the songs that actually came to me as a Samhain song, but I think it's also really appropriate for solstice. Entering the void, the womb of the mother, where many become one, where all become free. Entering the void, the womb of the mother, where many become one, where all become free. Okay, solstice blessings to you all. Oh, and I just wanted to say one more thing for anyone who's local to me, to the South Puget Sound area. I would be delighted if you would join us for our annual winter solstice celebration called Sing Up the Sun. It's happening December 22nd. It's an early event. We gather before sunrise so that we can, as the title says, sing up the sun. So I'll link the details of that in the show notes, and I hope to see you there.
You've been listening to Priestess of Ordinary Things, a podcast for spiritual misfits, modern mystics, and folks of all genders tasked with tending the sacred in everyday life. If you're a spiritual misfit who feels lost, stuck, or hungry for connection and wanting more resources for being more grounded in your relationship to your body and to the earth, go to my website at www.katefontana.com/earth-magic and get the free gift I created just for you. It's called Earth Magic, Three Simple Celebrations of Spiritual Nourishment. Also, make sure to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss an episode. And if there's something you heard here that was meaningful to you, please let me know in the comments. I read all of them, and it really helps me know that I'm speaking to real people and not just out into empty space. Lastly, if there's someone in your life you think could benefit from what you heard here, I'd be so grateful if you'd share it with them. You belong here. Don't give up. May we dance through these times awake and together.